Happy September, everyone. And I do hope that it is a happy September. I mean that very sincerely. I've heard from many people that this summer was the first time in a long while that they truly had a chance to decompress and let their shoulders down for a moment. Over the past few years, it has felt like teachers had to be warriors, responsible for keeping young people and themselves healthy and safe, ensuring that their minds, bodies, and spirits were well cared for. In that battle, happiness did not seem to be part of the strategy. I remember Gabor Mate saying that the best thing we can do for our children as parents is to be happy. Easier said than done sometimes, but it is an idea worth considering in the context of education as well. What do schools have to do with the happiness of both children and staff? The fact that this might seem like an unusual question tells us something about how we view education. This year, I'm wondering about words that we don't usually associate with schooling. I've heard districts start thinking about hope. I've been reading about what young children can teach us about love and freedom when we pay attention to them and their communication in school settings. I'm thinking about the intense emotions that both children and adults are grappling with. How might we envision schools as places of hope and love and freedom and joy and fun? And what do any of those things have to do with thinking, you might ask? What are the environments in school and outside of school that we hope to foster, and how might high-quality thinking help us advance our goals? What are the relationships between thinking and learning and living a beautiful, fulfilling, and good life? As the executive director of the Critical Thinking Consortium, I want to invite you to think with us about how we are employing our critical thinking abilities and to what end. I believe, as I think most educators do, that high-quality thinking is inextricably linked to a good life and the qualities and experiences that accompany it. However, we often consider and plan for them in silos, separating out math and literacy from wellness and wholeness and joy, for example. I know my colleagues at TC Squared have long held views that critical, creative, and collaborative thinking are deeply connected to wonder, as Garfield says, to flourishing, as Laura talks about, to regenerative relationships with each other and the land, as Maria writes about, and as schools and organizations as healthy ecosystems, as Warren reminds us. This year, I hope we all have the courage and perhaps the audacity to engage our critical thinking for these noble purposes and to teach critical thinking with the aim of creating a beautiful, fulfilling, and good life. This will mean that we may have to recognize that sometimes, in fact, often, it is the very structures and routines of school that impede these goals. Let's imagine what we might do that hasn't been done before, and what we might find the freedom to abandon, even though it's always been done that way. Let's listen carefully to students and families who don't find joy, happiness, wellness, wholeness in our systems. And let's work with them in truly collaborative ways, seeking their guidance and learning from their wisdom. My hope grows when I hear the excitement that educators are bringing back into schools, the commitment they have to creating healthy, joyful, and fruitful experiences that help students learn what matters most. I can't wait to hear what you're trying, what you're thinking about, and your reimaginings of what learning might look like, sound like, and feel like. Let's find ways this year, especially to support those students who need us to change our practices the most. We want to imagine with you and then to commit to supporting you in making the small changes and sometimes the bold steps that can contribute to a joyful and effective teaching and learning environment and to support students in building more equitable, inclusive, and beautiful futures.